In the wake, first of all, let me correct one of the readings. Paul did not write the letter to the Colossians, this thing that Kathy read. I thought she would have to swallow her bile to when she got to the point of wives being subject to your husband. Paul didn't write that. That's not Pauline. That's much later than Paul. And the reason that was stuck in there, together with some other things, like wives be silent in the church, which somebody inserted into one of the letters to the Corinthians, Paul didn't write that either. But because some of the followers of Jesus, these female followers of Jesus, who believed that Jesus was an equal opportunity friend, and as the letter to the Galatians says, there's no distinction between male and female or slave and free. But in Rome, of course, in the Roman Empire, women were still very inferior beings. And so instead of behaving as if they really were the equals of men and garnering the attention of the cops, they all just were enjoying to shut up and, you know, behave and be submissive. So is one of those many places in Scripture in which you certainly have to have your head tied on securely to make sense of it. Okay, I've been musing ever since that fateful week of the death of Nelson Mandela, pardon me, about a phrase that was used by a number of commentators. And the phrase is oxymoron. That is, the phrase was this, that Mandela was a great secular saint. Those two words cancel out each other, because once you talk about sanctity, you're talking in a religious key. You're not talking in a secular key. Secular just means worldly, that is contained in this world with no reference to anything beyond this world. He was not a secular saint. He was a saint to court, period, full stop. Forgiveness, truth, reconciliation. An injury to one is an injury to all. You know, no one is free unless everybody's free. That's straight out of Paul. You know? So Mandela, we don't have to qualify Mandela by secular. I think I know what those guys were trying to get at. But it's misleading. And it's false. And I bring this up because of I was talking to some friends about what to say, since this is kind of short notice to prepare for today. The notion of the Holy Family, that's the feast for today. What makes a family holy? Oh, well, we all know, you know, there's Joseph standing, looking bewildered, and Mary sitting there demurely, and a little baby dandling on her lap, and then little angels running around with dust cloths and mops and, you know, doing the dishes and all that stuff. And we have this imbecilic, infantile view of things. I mean, that's what I grew up with. The sisters gave us holy cards, you know, big prizes. And they all had these silly, misleading, phony images of the Holy Family. But my friend was saying, well, you should talk about the dehumanization of Jesus. And that's a very good instance of it. That Jesus was etherealized, sort of volatilized, existed on this higher plane, whatever that may be. And that's nuts. It detaches him from the human community. It clearly dehumanizes him, and it's false. It's theologically false. What makes this family holy is what makes any family holy. And we get some kind of intimations of this from all this stuff about angels talking to Mary, talking to Joseph, giving them itineraries and stuff like that. I don't know what happened historically, but we know that this is the stuff of legend. Joseph the dreamer, you know, Matthew wanted to cast Joseph in the mold of this figure from the Hebrew Bible. In other words, we can find in those texts, however, intimations of what makes a family holy. And the basic element here is trust. Joseph, whatever was going on in him, Joseph trusted Mary. Mary trusted whatever was happening to her, to the action of God. And what is trust but the great opening of oneself to the other? To receive the other, to donate oneself to the other. And that's what makes a family holy. You know? That's the essence of holiness. And everything that comes out of that is simply an amplification, the realization of what holiness is. That, contrary to the way we in the West frequently look at the family, where it's this kind of little nuclear group that kind of huddles together to hold off the rest of the nasty world, which is seen as enmity. These people I was talking to are Latin Americans. They say, that's not our understanding of family. Our understanding of family is that you opened yourself to everybody. Everybody. And certainly in Africa, it's linguistically present too. When people say, this is my father, this is my mother, they're not talking biology, they're talking relationship. Brothers and sisters, you know, are not biologically connected to people, but rather they're humanly connected to people. And that's what makes a family holy. It's as simple as that. And simple as that, it's difficult as that. I've been thinking about my family and not my biological family, but my three sons and what I did with them. And the thing kind of terrifies me in reflecting on it. I didn't think very much about stuff, you know. We just got up in the morning and had breakfast and packed up for school, and they disappeared for a few hours, and then they came back, and then we, you know, proceeded with chores or entertainment or something. And I didn't think that consciously that what I should be doing is somehow creating an environment in which I trusted these kids and they could trust me, and therefore they became aware of living in a world they can trust. And this is maybe the pivotal thing. Living in a world they can trust, a world that is basically good, despite all appearances. And today we have inordinate number of counter-appearances. The Central African Republic, the Ukraine, you know, Thailand. Think about it. Think about the world we're living in. Think about the economic disparities that exist today. See, a real secular saint would be Bernie Madoff or Donald Trump. They're the secular saints because they measure up to the values of the society, which is greed, self-aggrandizement, you know, and radical indifference. Everybody else who's not as rich as they are. That if you want to talk about secular heroes, those are the secular heroes, not Jesus. Not Nelson Mandela, because they were totally contrary to these secular values. So to be able to trust, to be able to say, I belong in this world, and to say that I am open to this world and want to receive and give myself to this world. As I said, I think, and even the Pope in one of those famous interviews said, you know, there's less love in the world today than there has been. I think he's right. I don't know whether you've been watching all these refugees out of Syria. Well, there's, of course, 125,000 dead, thanks to Assad, largely. You have the Afghanistan-Iraqi bombings continually. But the thing that has struck me most is a poignant image of little kids. There are 1 million refugee kids on the planet right now, people dispossessed, people living in tents, people for whom the world is anything but a trustworthy place. You know, it's a place of terror. And even the UN has pointed out that most of the Syrian kids are suffering serious psychological difficulty. Now, and we know what we're talking about. We're saying that they're scared of the world. They're not at home in the world. They're scared of the world. And the image that most has stuck with me was some of the Syrian refugees have fled to Bulgaria. And so there was this flickering image on the TV of these 5-6-year-old kids barefoot in the snow. And their number is legion. And so when we think about the Holy Family, and whether it's Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, or me, and Andre, and Marcelo, and Judene, or you, and your kids, we cannot do that honestly without also remembering someplace, either the periphery or the forefront of our brain, these other families that are not families anymore. They've been destroyed. And that's what, if it is true, after the example of Jesus, that we are open to the world, we have to be open to that world too. And I suggest continually, because the number of refugees today, there's 7 million refugees on the planet at this moment, you know. Most of them kids. We can't profess ourselves as Christians if we are not very consciously aware of all of those non-families who should be families.